be standing this morning, please, as we read the Word of God together.
Amen.
Standing as we read the Bible together.
Amen.
Good to be saved this morning. Thank God. The Rock of Ages. He's still the Rock of Ages. And He shall always be the Rock of Ages. That's right.
Amen.
You can build on Him and let the winds blow, let the rains fall and the floods come, and I'll guarantee you, you'll not budge an inch.
Amen.
Amen. But if you build on the sand now, those same winds come and the rain falls and the waves come, beat against your house. The Bible said that house will fall, and great will be the fall of it. That goes for churches. That goes for marriages. That goes for individual lives. That goes for countries, nations. That's right. I'm telling you, America's not on the rock anymore. We're on the rocks, but we're not on the rock. We're doing some real, real, real strange things in our country today. And I don't see a leader anywhere in America. Not one on either party, Republican, Democrat, Independent, and even if they brought the Whigs back in or the Congregationalists, I don't believe they'd find one of them either. And I'm going to tell you, if the Democrats is looking to Hillary, they're looking to a broken reed. Hillary ain't got what it takes. Praise God, she couldn't run a carnival, much less a government of our United States. That's right. She hasn't got enough sense to run her home. And I don't know anybody that has, really.
Amen.
On either party.
Amen.
If I told you who I'd like to see run, you'd probably faint.
Amen.
He speaks with some real truth and real wisdom.
Amen.
And that's Newt Gingrich. He's got some wisdom about him on some things. Now, I don't know if he get them through Congress. Congress wants to do one thing. The Senate wants to do one thing. The President wants to do one thing. And it's divided, and a house that's divided cannot stand.
Amen.
And they're going to see to it they stay divided. Because it don't matter what one of them wants, the other one wants the opposite.
Amen.
This one wants this, this one wants something else. This one wants this, this one wants it. It don't make a difference. They can't get together.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. It's not politics they're arguing over.
Amen.
It's an agenda that they want.
Amen.
All right. Acts chapter number 12. I've preached twice to you this morning. Lord, just pray and let you go home.
Amen.
Acts chapter number 12 this morning. And I want to begin reading in verse number 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because they saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, I probably won't get to those soldiers, but that was 16 soldiers, and they probably worked four shifts, four of them at a time, guarding Peter. Plus, they had him inside the inner prison, and then had four soldiers, trained soldiers, elite soldiers, watching guard over him. And said in verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hand. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals, and so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first guard, past the second ward, they came unto the city, the gate of the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she saw Peter's voice, it's dark up on this thing. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, it is an angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, knocking it shall be opened unto you. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James, and go to the brethren. And notice these last words, and he departed and went into another place. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the morning hour. Thank you for the Sunday school time that we enjoyed this morning, the good singing. I thank you for the Word of God that is before us. I pray you'll bless it to our heart now. Give us great grace and wisdom and great understanding. May the Spirit of God provide the liberty, Lord, not only that's needed to preach, but liberty amongst the people, Lord, to worship. Liberty amongst the people to receive the engrafted Word of God with all readiness of mind. Lord, liberty that sinners might feel the power and the presence and the conviction of God and turn from their sinful ways and be saved. Lord, I pray that you would touch your people in their heart, that we might all be revived and strengthened. Bless us, I pray. Help the sick. Help those on our prayer list today. Bless them physically and spiritually. Give great grace to every heart that is here and every family and home. And Father, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Well, Brother Steve mentioned in the Sunday school hour how that he had looked at the failures of his life and how those failures and what I'd preached on Peter, how it had helped him to realize that failures in your life does not mean that it's final. And so we find in the life of this great man by the name of Peter. Now, I want to preach at least 10 messages this morning in one, if God will be my helper. You remember, as we look through the life of Peter in the Gospels, that everything that Peter did seemed to backfire. Everything that Peter did seemed to be a failure in the eyes of the people. And yet we know that the Lord had surnamed him Cephas, which by interpretation is a stone, that he should be called a rock. Remember I told you that what the Lord was teaching him in the Gospels was that which he could use later in his life in the service of God. And so we may all this morning look back at our failures and realize that God allowed those things in the training camp to happen.
Amen.
That we might be prepared for those things later in life.
Amen.
I've so many times used Daniel as an illustration. How that Daniel would not defile himself with the king's meat.
Amen.
And that was only a preparation for the time that he would spend in that den of lions and that great trial there. And the three Hebrews, the same. They would not defile themselves with the king's meat.
Amen.
But it was training ground for later on when they were called on to bow at the music of the king and his idol. And rather than bow, they were cast into a burning fiery furnace. But I'm here to tell you that there was a fourth man walking in that fire. And the Bible said that he is as the Son of God, not a Son of God, the Son of God. Now I'm telling you that Christ went in the den of lions with Peter, and Christ went in, ladies and gentlemen, into that fiery furnace with the three Hebrews. And I also find that God went into the prison with Peter. And if God did that for those men, God will do it for you and I also in the day that we're living in. Now, I find in the Gospels, again, I want to reiterate all of Peter's failures. But when we come to the book of Acts, we're no longer finding Peter's failures. But we're fine looking at a man that has learned the lesson well and has become a great Christian, a great man of God, a great apostle, and a great preacher that God can use for His glory to lead the people of God in those early chapters in the book of Acts. Let me just remind you of some things. In the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts, we find that Peter, the apostle Peter, appears to be the figure of apostolic authority among all the people. Every time something is mentioned in their lives, it is always Peter that stands out in the forefront. Now, you would think that tender-hearted John might be there, but it's not so. It's old, impulsive Peter that is there taking the lead in these chapters. We might think that it's praying James that the Bible says many called him old camel knees because of the way he prayed. But again, it's not that man that they called James, but it is Cephas the rock that was always a failure before God, that God in some degree, and get this word in its perspective, has perfected him in the work of God and brought him to a place that he might glorify God in his life. May I say that is God's will for everyone that is here today. God is working in your life to perfect you that you might glorify Him in your Christian life. And I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about God maturing you and conforming you to the image of Christ, that God may use you somehow, some way, to bring glory to Him in your Christian life. That's right. Oh, Peter, he has been freshly filled with the Spirit of God and is following the divine leadership of the Holy Ghost. He got that on the day of Pentecost. And may I say that you'll never be able to follow God adequately until you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, do you have Bible terminology for that? I really believe I do. What are you going to do about Joshua and Caleb that got across that Jordan River and got over, not really the Jordan, but at Kadesh Barnea, got over into the promised land. And that land flowing with milk and honey, that is the type of the Spirit-filled life. Now I'm telling you, when they came back to bring their report to Moses, those two men that were filled with the Spirit of God gave the right report. You know why? They were following the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you that it is imperative in your life and in your family, ladies and gentlemen, that you follow the Holy Ghost leadership. He'll never lead you wrong. He'll never lead you in the wrong direction. And I'll guarantee you one of these days, if you follow Him, He'll always bring you out in the right place. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Everybody in here is filled with the Spirit of God. And Peter had just been freshly anointed and filled with the Spirit of God. And in chapter number 2, he stands up and preaches on the day of Pentecost. And you know this, 3,000 souls come to know Christ. And the Bible said this, I want you to hear this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, really genuinely get somebody saved. You're not going to have to get a radar gun to find them when it comes time to come to the house of God. I'll guarantee you, you get genuinely born again and you will follow the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship of that local New Testament church. I'm talking about following the commandments of the Bible and fellowshipping with the people of God. I've got a real problem with somebody that tells me they're saved, and yet they never have fellowship with the people of God. Come on now, somebody help me. Where's your mind at? Where's your heart at? We're talking about this great man of God. Amen. A great example that every man in here ought to follow. Somebody said, why, Brother Hall? Because every one of us in here this morning have fallen and failed just exactly like he has. Now, I want you to understand your little failures are not final. God can pick up the broken pieces and put them all back together again. God's able to take lives that are broken and shattered and dreams that are broken and shattered, and God can put them all together again. God can take a life that's like a crossword puzzle and start putting her together, buddy. And I'll tell you, when that puzzle's put together, it'll be a creature that'll bring glory to God. Amen. And the devil cannot disturb or devastate. Hallelujah. Now I've got to move on. I got a long, long, long way to go. In chapter 3, we see Peter once again being used mightily of the Lord at the beautiful gate of the temple. At the hour of prayer, Peter and John go up to the temple. And there's a beggar sitting there. And Peter said, look on us. Boy, and that old beggar expected to get something. But Peter's reply was, silver and gold have I none, but such as I give unto thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And I'm going to tell you, that man didn't sit on his blessed assurance like some of you are today. I'll guarantee you, he did exactly what Peter said. He rose up from that place of begging. I'm telling you, you get born again by the grace of God. You're no longer a beggar. God has birthed you into the family of the King. Praise God. I'm telling you, we're children of the King today. Now I'm telling you, that old boy got born again and he rose up and went into the house of God walking and leaping and praising God every step of the way. Amen. Hallelujah. Like some of us ought to be doing in the right spirit in here this morning. I saw Joshua Jones cut a rug up Brother Johnny's. I ain't never seen nobody cut a rug like that. I don't know how that boy was jumping and twisting. But he had some moves that would make Michael Jordan jealous. I never seen nothing like it in my life. And I've got to say, I instigated it. Brother Tony Jones was saying, I'm drinking from a saucer because my cup's running over. And I'm going to tell you, Brother John and myself, we just got beside ourselves on that song. Amen. Praise God. Not over. And so we see Peter there, not making mistakes, but with the power of God upon him. And then again in chapter number 4, it's Peter who is filled with the Holy Ghost and rebukes the Sanhedrin and say about the man that just got healed. And the Sanhedrin want to throw Peter and John in jail because a man got saved by the grace of God. Can I say this to you this morning? If you got an idea that that crowd out there is a friend of you or a friend of Jesus or a friend of the church, you are absolutely wrong, ladies and gentlemen. There is a religious crowd in the world today that truly hates old-time religion. Well, they don't want no red-faced preaching. They don't want no slobbering at the mouth. They don't want the old-time songs. They want the rock and the hip-hop and the flip-flop and all that mess. Amen! Come on in the house of God. Rather than hear Rock of Ages, they'd like to hear the crab family, and there ain't no crabs around here. Thank God for that. Amen! Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, it still sounds him spiritual songs, buddy, in the house of God here. Amen to God. That's right. Amen. I'm going to tell you why. God will honor them. Somebody said, oh, yeah, but we could get in the beat, preacher. We had something going up here. Yeah, you would get in the beat, but I'm going to tell you later on, you would get in the heat. You'll catch that. I'm talking about hell fire is what I'm talking about, friend. Amen. That's right. Praise God. In Chapter 5, once again, this great apostle and man of God uses his spiritual discernment to uncover the deceitful heart of Ananias and Sapphira. Now, here's a man that just a few days ago had denied the Lord. And here he is, Ananias and Sapphira walk in, having sold their land for so much money. Peter said, hey, have you sold the land, Ananias, for so much? He said, oh, yeah, for so much. Now, I'm telling you, the Bible said that man fell out dead. Because Peter said, hey, what has caused Satan? How have you let Satan fill your heart with such deceit as that? Now, I'm telling you, he had some spiritual discernment about him. Now, I'm telling you, there's one thing lacking in our churches today. It's people that have got some discernment about them. Praise God, we don't even know how to act when Jesus is around. Amen to God. I wonder if there's any Ninevites in here. Don't know your left hand from your right. They couldn't discern their left hand from their right hand. I wonder if we can really discern when God's around. Need old Brother Milby over here to preach how to act when God passes by. Amen. Amen. Some of you in here need a little bit of discernment about your children. Amen. And some of you in here better get them under check. Or I'm going to tell you, your heart's going to be broken. I'm telling you, on the authority of the Word of God, some of you mommy and daddy better get your heart in tune and lie down on your children, or you're going to miss them all in the mouth one of these days. I'm going to tell you something right now, and I don't make any bones about it. If you want to kick me out today, kick me out. But I'm telling you, a man that's got a child that will let that child work and deprive that child from church has not got half sense in that Bible, ladies and gentlemen. You've done made a gross error, buddy. You've done made a bad mistake. Come on in the house, pray. God, I'm preaching to you. Let us tell a child that $3 or $4 is worth more than God. God, have mercy on us. I'm telling you, we've lost our values and lost the importance of the church and the preaching of the Word of God altogether. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember when we was in Tucson. Lisa got out of school and she said, Dad, I want work. And I said, we'll try to find you a little part-time job. So around Christmas time, they're selling jewelry down at one of the department stores, and they had an opening. Lisa went there and applied for it. And that lady said, well, you can have the job. I told that woman right to her face, I said, she can have the job, but no Wednesday nights and no Sundays. Amen. That woman looked at me kind of strange. She said, we can work that out. And I said, I thought you could. Amen. I'm telling you, God will work it out for you if you let Him. If you'll let Him, come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God, I'm telling you, when the church is going on, church business is the business. Somebody say amen right there. I'm talking about discernment. Talking about discerning deceit and how deceitful the devil is. Oh, you better believe, buddy, he can pull the wool over people's eyes and make them think that they're doing right, and all along they're following the wrong pathway.
Amen
to God. That's right. Somebody said, I don't like you. Neither does a whole lot of other folks.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody was talking this morning or last night, one in the prayer meeting or this morning in there. And somebody said, I want to ask you a question. I said, how many people you know can stand your preaching? I thought I'd done a pretty good job. It might hurt a little now. And I'm telling you, later down the road, when you lay your carcass dead in a casket, bless your heart, I'm telling you, you'll be glad somebody busted your hide and skinned you and told you what's right and what's wrong. Amen. And done their best to keep you in line. And later down the road, when those youngins get out on their own, I'm here to tell you there, some of them will break your heart. I'm thinking of a young boy right now, and I'm thinking of a young girl right now, and you know both of them, they have broken their parents' hearts because when they got out from under the thumb, they were gone. They were gone, I'm telling you. God, help us. Amen. I said, get off of that. Well, I will. Then, in another chapter, it's Peter once again, who looks old Simon the sorcerer, I forgot to write down the chapter, I believe it's chapter 8, looks him right square in the face, Simon the sorcerer.
Amen.
Wanted the gift of the laying on of hands and offered money for it. And it was Peter that looked that sorcerer right in the face.
Amen.
And said, thy money perish with thee.
Because
thou hast thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. I'm telling you, friend, you can't buy it. If you had all the money in the world, it'd be contemned. God, have mercy. I'm telling you, it's a gift. Oh, somebody said you say that verse all the time. I say it because it's right. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is thee, not a. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God for the gift of grace and the gift of the Holy Ghost and the gift of salvation, the gift of being saved. I'm telling you, hey, we can thank God this morning for a gift that God's granted us that's going to carry us all the way into heaven. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I saw Miss Sharon come carrying that little baby boy out here this morning. He was asleep. She was just walking real easy. My mind went back to the first time I seen her pull up in the parking lot out there.
Amen.
And she found grace, and grace is still working.
Amen.
They ain't always been fun either, has it? But it's still working, ain't it?
Amen.
How many of you in here can say it's still working? Praise God, it's still working. Amen. A lot of bumps, a lot of knots along the way, but thank God. That gift of grace is still working. Hallelujah to God. Woo! I won't say amen. Thank God. It got a hold of me. Something got a hold of me. Hallelujah. That's still working. Grace is active. Grace is moving. Grace is laboring. Grace is working. I'm telling you, grace just keeps on working efficaciously in the lives of God's people. I'm telling you, every saved person in here ought to be on our feet. Praise God, we ought to be shouting her out this morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's in chapter 10. Peter sees that vision of the unclean beast while lodging with Simon the tanner, and eventually is led to the home of Cornelius, the centurion.
Amen.
And preaches the gospel.
Amen.
The first man to preach to the Gentiles.
Amen.
Now what about that?
Amen.
And he preached to Cornelius and him.
Amen.
And his whole family.
Amen.
Believed and were baptized.
Amen.
I'm talking about by a failure. Come on in the house. I'm talking about by an impulsive tongue. Man that put his mouth and his brain in gear, or his feet in gear before he ever put his brain into motion. I'm talking about a man that thought he knew everything and realized finally he didn't know nothing. I'm talking about a man that couldn't do anything right. Everything he did was wrong. Everything in the Gospels. I said everything in the Gospels was wrong. But now, everything's right. Hallelujah. Amen. We've arrived at our text now in chapter 12. James, the brother of John, has been killed with a sword. You know what? He's filling a commitment. In Mark, let me get the chapter here. In Mark 10, verses 35 through 37, James and John go to Jesus and say, Lord, do something for us.
Amen.
The Lord said, what would you have me to do? He said that we may one sit on thy right hand, the other on the left, when thou comest into the kingdom.
Amen.
He said, you've asked a hard thing.
Amen.
You've asked a hard thing. He said, can you be baptized when you drink of the cup that I drink from and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?
Amen.
They said, we can. Now, I'm telling you, a few days later, old James found out. Oh, yes, that he had the goods. He could be baptized with the same baptism as Jesus. And he drank from the same cup. Because the Bible said that Herod rose up and vexed the church and killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, ladies and gentlemen. He became the first martyr. I'm talking about the first martyr of the New Testament. I want to ask you something this morning. You got that kind of guts? You got that kind of grace? You got that kind of faith, that kind of commitment? That you would give your life for the cause of Christ? Can you be baptized with His baptism? Can you drink of the cup that He drank from? I'm here to tell you from here on out, hey, they're facing persecution. Oh, we talk about, well, I'm really persecuted. Well, how are you persecuted? Gasoline went up to $2. And 70 cents a gallon. Well, whoop-de-doo and scoo-booby-doo. Honolulu, Hawaii, Hawaii, Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
Who was it the other night said they found bones in caves over in Israel? Was it Brother Atkinson? Said they found bones. You know what they were? They were catacombs. And in the days, shortly after the days that I'm preaching about, God's people had to go underground. And they lived in the catacombs, ladies and gentlemen, underground because of persecution. You don't live underground. You're not a mole. You got a house to go home to today. Air conditioning if you need it. Heat if you need it. Food in the refrigerator if you want it. An automobile to drive. And I bet everybody in here's got enough money to buy gasoline. Bless your heart to get home on. We won't talk about being persecuted. But here's the message. Stay right with me. Because the Jews... Because this pleased the Jews, Herod proceeded to take Peter also with the intention of killing him after Easter.
Amen.
But you know the story, how the angel of the Lord came into that place, awakened old Peter, put his clothes on him, led him through the second ward and the gate. When they got to the gate, just like that door from Solomon Owolabi opened by itself with a great miracle, that gate just opened. And Peter walked out into freedom.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, Peter, hey, you talking about the great escape. Get this. They had a gate.
Amen.
They had a door and a keeper at the door.
Amen.
They had four centurions around them.
Yep.
And one angel.
Amen.
One angel of God. Pulled off the great escape and doesn't even say anything about the centurions opening their mouth. Doesn't say anything about the guard opening his mouth. Oh, what a God we have. I'm closing on this with the character of Peter. Did you find him in prison? I don't know anybody in here that's ever went to prison for the cause of Christ. But I thought, how could I handle this great escape? Now, I know I've not handled it correctly, but I want you to stay right in the text now. But I'm going to tell you what I see, and I'm going to preach it in about just a few minutes, and we're out of here. I'm going to tell you what I see. I see in these verses three great powers that are at work in the life of a child of God to pull off the great escape that Peter made. Great powers.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, the same great powers that's in chapter 12 are still here.
Yes.
And they're still working in the church
yes.
of the living God today. You can mark that down.
Yes.
I want to say the first great power. Come on now. Is the power of Satan. Son, I'm here to tell you, I don't think we really believe in a devil today.
That's right.
And I don't think we believe in the power of the devil today.
Amen.
Who do you think it was that provoked Herod to do what he done?
Right.
He is the prince and the power of this world.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, he persuaded, provoked and persuaded Herod to take the life of James. And then when he saw how it pleased the people of the Jews, the devil got up in Herod's ear and said, why don't you take another one? Only this time, get the main dude. Get old Peter. Get the main mouth. Get the main mouthpiece. And I outlined it like this. That Satan and his power. And I won't say this. Satan is powerful, but he's not all powerful.
Amen.
He is not omnipresent, neither is he omnipotent.
Amen.
But he is powerful.
Amen.
And brother, powerful enough to deceive
Amen.
The hearts of men.
Yes.
Son, I'm telling you, he's working overtime today.
Yes.
Hey, and this church better draw up close
Amen.
To the very heart of God and listen to the voice of God. And distance yourself from the world. Distance yourself from sin. Distance yourself from Satan. Or I'm telling you, you'll fall somewhere down the road. He'll deceive you. Some of you will wind up leaving here. Somebody says, oh, Brother Hall, we ain't going to leave here. I know people that knew Brother Nolan 20 years and left him. Now, I'm not going to tell you where, but me and Miss Hall know a church that we're aware of, the man and his wife, and I really don't know why they left, have been there for years. Now they're gone.
Amen.
Somewhere down the line, buddy, the devil deceived them.
Amen.
Look what he done. His power is found in vexing the church. Now come on in here, and I don't want to brag on Hall, but look who he attacked. He attacked the leaders of the church. Somebody said, why did he attack them? He attacked them, ladies and gentlemen, with the intention to deal a mortal blow to stop the work of God. Now, I'm telling you, the devil is working on the leaders of the churches today to deal a mortal blow to numbers of local churches to stop the march of that church for the glory of God.
Amen.
He's walked up to some men and said, hey, that lady's awful pretty, and there ain't nobody around but you and her, and there ain't nobody going to know it. And they've pulled back the bed sheets and crawled in bed with some whore. And I'm going to tell you, they crawled in a leader for God and crawled out on the bottom because they listened to the devil. The devil's crawled up to some of them and said, hey, money's what you need, man.
Right.
Just money. Get all the money you can get. And they started getting ahead in life. God blessed them a little bit. And the money, more of them got, the more they wanted. And the more they got, the further they got away from God. And now they're so far from God that all they're interested in is a dollar.
Amen.
Amen, preacher. Amen, sir. Amen.
Praise God. I don't need another woman. I don't need another dollar.
Amen.
That God don't want me to have.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, if he can get the leader of a church, brother, I'm telling you, he can destroy that church.
Amen.
I talked to a man the other day. You would know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to mention the name of a leader in the church that fell into sin and had to leave the church. They called another man in the church. And here's what a preacher said. He said, it just ain't going right. It just ain't doing good. They've compromised and they've let down. What happened in the absence of Moses?
Amen.
We don't know where this man of God's at. Up, build us a cave. This be the God that brought us up out of Israel.
Amen. Amen.
I'm telling you, you may not like old Brother Hall, but I'm here to tell you, if you lay with me and I'll lay in prayer and we'll all lay in prayer together, I'll guarantee that every soul that's on board the ship, praise God, will dock someday at the old ship of Zion will dock in heaven. I'll assure you of that.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Devil won't tell you now, you know the grass is greener on the other side.
Amen.
It's not.
Amen.
Grass ain't no more greener on the other side than it is blue in Lexington.
Amen.
That's right. But look here, God moved in on old Peter. They vexed. He vexed the church, took the life of James, put Peter in jail.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, he attacked the church.
Amen.
And to stop the work of God. But God moved in on the scene and delivered old Peter.
Yep.
And here's why. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper.
Yep.
And every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Why, Lord? For this is the heritage of the saints, of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here to tell you, if you're living right with God, the devil does not have one weapon. Not one weapon does he have that he can rise up against you with to destroy you. Not one.
Amen.
He'll try to cut you with his tongue. Anybody here been tongue cut?
Yes,
sir. Tongue lashed.
Mm-hmm.
Tongue beat.
Amen.
Lied about. You know who's behind that? The devil.
Amen.
But every tongue that rises up in judgment, Bob said God will condemn that tongue.
Amen.
God will destroy that weapon. Oh, what a God we have. Oh, the devil has got a little power. But son, he doesn't have enough power to quench the work of God. He can viciously attack the work of the church. Hallelujah. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Brother Jerome, I'm about dead now. Hallelujah. Some of y'all jump up and tag team with me. We could have some fun. Amen. He can viciously pursue his plan to halt the church, but it'll never work. Satan's power is limited. Therefore, work and trust the Lord. Satan's power is limited. Therefore, work and watch for the Lord.
Amen
to God. Don't let anything. How's that verse go? He that observes the wind shall not sow, or something to that effect. Devil get you looking at the waves. He'll get you looking at the wind. He'll get you looking at everything that will distract you. But I'm telling you, if you'll stay and keep your focus on Jesus, woo! Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Amen.
Look well into His wonderful face.
Yep.
I'm telling you, just one smile from the face of the darling Son of God, and all sorrows in this life will erase. Now, I'll tell you, if you keep your face against His face, I'll guarantee you, you'll make it. Is anybody listening this morning? Hallelujah. I want to say number two. The great power of Satan. And by the way, we can put on all the armor of God and withstand Him.
Amen.
But there's another power. He vexed certain of the church. Stretched forth His hands and vexed certain of the church. Killed James, the brother, John with a sword. Saw it pleased the Jews. He took Peter also and put him in prison.
Amen.
And was going to bring him out after Easter and put a sword through Peter's belly. But God had another plan.
Amen.
Somebody said, where'd Peter go? I don't know where he went, but he went into another place.
Amen. Amen.
I've never known why that verse is there, but I think I got the answer. You know who knows the Word of God pretty well? The devil does. God put in there, he went to another place, so the devil wouldn't know where he was at. Oh, somebody said that can't be. Why not? Our life is hid with Christ in God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Can I give you this? This is not original. I'm going to tell you what Brother Wayne Henderson just said in the fellowship hall. Just talking about Scripture. We got talking about the work of the high priest and that scapegoat. Here's what Brother Henderson said. He said that high priest took the blood of a bull and went in behind that veil and put the blood, sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat for his sins and his family. Said he come back out and killed a goat, took that blood of that goat, went in behind the veil and sprinkled the blood of that goat upon the mercy seat for the sins of Israel. Now, he come back out, he laid his hands on the head of the goat, a type of putting all the sins of Israel on that goat. Now, we know all that. But here's what Brother Wayne said. He said, I got to thinking one day, if you take an old dog out and turn it loose, that dog will follow you back. I guarantee they'll you can drop them and they'll travel 5 miles and follow you back. He said, I got to thinking. It said they put it in the hands of a good man or something of that nature. And he took him out into a place uninhabited, that goat, and left him out there. He said, I got to think, I believe that goat would find his way back to the camp after a while. Now, this is not in the Scripture, but it makes good preaching. Here's what Brother Wayne said. He said, when that man, a good man, took that goat out into that place uninhabited, that he put a purple robe on that goat. And said, them Jews stood in that camp and waited for that goat to come back into camp wearing that purple robe. If you can get a hold of that, woo, I feel them Baptist youth bubbles coming up all over me.
Amen.
Amen. Have you got a hold of that?
Amen.
That goat is a type of Christ that took our sins away.
Right.
But God put a purple robe on him. And they that look for him, he shall appear the second time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wearing a purple robe. Hallelujah. That ain't in the Bible, but it makes good preaching. That's why Zacchaeus stood out there and looked and waited for. I mean, the people stood and waited on Zacchaeus to come. I wonder what's wrong with him. They waited. They looked. That high priest come out. Woo. Woo. How about her own? I see, secondly, I see the power of God, the power of prayer, rather. It said Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing unto the church for him. How was that prayer made? Unceasing prayer. What it said, they prayed. They made prayer without ceasing. That is, they didn't stop. They kind of like Paul said in Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. And God, I'm telling you, there's still, oh, there's power in prayer. Power to spare. I'm telling you, when that prayer rose up before God, God said, he might have said, Michael, I got a saint down there in prison that I'm not done with. And they got him locked up behind the gate, behind the door, with a keeper at the door, and four soldiers standing round about him, and guess what? He's laying there sleeping like a lamb. Woo! He wasn't worried. He wasn't worried. I believe God may have looked at Gabriel and said, do you think you can get him out of there? And he said, no sweat. We'll perform Mission Impossible. We'll get down there and get him out. And I'm telling you, God heard the prayers of the church. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. How much are you praying? Let me just go on and put it like this. Not only the unceasing prayer, prayer was made without ceasing by the church. It was not only unceasing, their prayer was unified. Unified. I wonder how much unity we've got in prayer.
Amen.
Let me just throw this out at you.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, are you serious about trying to borrow that much money and buy another radio station?
Amen!
Amen.
Amen.
How are you going to get it? Prayer!
Amen.
Ask and you'll receive.
Amen.
I said, preaching on prayer, it don't really stir me up. It don't stir you because you don't pray. And you don't know how to pray.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, if you'd ever learn to pray, get in the presence of God and watch God open the windows of heaven for you. And just let you peep through. Whoa, glory. And see Jesus on his throne. If I can and maybe just fantasize a little bit when they're stoning Stephen to death, the devil probably come up to him and said, what do you think now, Stephen? What do you see? And he said, devil, I see the heavens open. And Jesus standing on the right hand of the majesty of God. Praise God, I'm telling you, prayer will open up heaven for you, ladies and gentlemen. I had two men last Sunday come to me and say, preacher, when are we going to build a new church building up on the hill? And several of the men told me that they're in favor of it. Well, how are we going to get it done? Oh, there's power in prayer. Unceasing prayer. And unified prayer. Some of you Jayhawker men never come to prayer meetings. Shame on you. But I got a funny feeling we're going to have to call for nightly prayer meetings.
Amen.
To bring some things to pass. Somebody said, well, I won't be there. Show your carnality and your heathen, and the fact that you're heathen. Don't bother me now.
Amen.
Let me ask you something. Is there anything you want from God?
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I'd like to have another job. Have you asked Him for it?
Amen.
Have you not? Have you asked? Now, I don't know what the church was praying for. They may have just been praying for God to give old Peter grace. Lord, give him grace when that sword goes through his gut. Now, that's how we would pray. Lord, comfort him in his affliction. Lord, bless him. He's been a faithful servant. But I'm going to tell you what I think. I think the church said, oh God, there's a gate that's got to be open. There's a door that's got to be open. There's a guard that's got to be dealt with. There's some cares that's got to be dealt with. And God, you're all powerful, the devil. He's got a little power, but Lord, you're all powerful and you're able to open the gate and open the door and put a injection into those men that will just put them to sleep.
Amen.
For a little while.
Amen.
Are you praying? They prayed unceasingly. They prayed unified.
Amen.
And they prayed unctionized. The Bible said, unto God.
Amen.
It wasn't now, lay me down to sleep. I pray, my, Lord, my soul to keep. It was agonizing. And here's a marvelous thing. Peter wasn't even praying. Church was praying. Peter was asleep. And you know why he was asleep? John 21. Jesus said, when you was young, you walked and went about the way you wanted. He said, but when you're old. What did you say, Lord? I said, when you're old, Peter. Another is going to gird thee. Carry you whither you wouldn't go. You mean, Lord, when I'm old, I'm going to be crucified. That's what I'm telling you, Peter. Well, so when Peter got in that prison, them people out there, Brother Doug, get a hold of this. Them people that was praying, they had no earthly idea what God had already told Peter, because him, Peter and him were walking away from that crowd of disciples when Jesus told him that. They didn't know he told him that.
Amen.
So the church had no idea what God had told Peter, and they were praying. Peter knew what God had told him, and he was sleeping.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, when God says something to you, bank on it. Lay down and go to sleep.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Just lay down and go to sleep and bury your head and just saw them logs. Praise God. Because what God says, God will perform.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Prayer brought a quiet conscience to Peter. Prayer brought a sense of perfect security and restful hope. Prayer brought... It brought the church to prayer. It brought comfort in trial and perfection of character and a surprise for their faith. When Peter got out of that prison and went to... Who is it? It's me, Peter. Oh, Peter's in prison. That ain't you. It's me. It's me. Hey, John, Peter's at the door knocking. You're mad! That's the very words they use. You're mad! You're nuttier than a fruitcake. You're a looney tune. He's in prison! Well, we've been praying for him. I know it, but we probably ain't got through yet. God probably hadn't heard us yet. Oh, yeah, God had heard. And they started to carry on, though Peter said, hold it! So I'm going to tell you what happened. He said, I was laying down there amongst them soldiers, and I thought I was having a vision. And an angel came and woke me up and loosed the chains off my feet, put my coat on me. He said, we walked out, went through the door, and he saw the guard sitting there. He was sound asleep. I don't know. He might have had some too much Demerol or something. He was well on his way. And said, we got out to the gate and said, you ain't going to believe this. The gate just opened by itself.
Amen.
And when that gate opened, he said, I looked around and the angel was gone. I realized it weren't no dream. Some of y'all wake up and realize we're in reality. Oh, it's a life of reality. It's not a dream. And there's a God that can open your gate today. And there's a God that can open your door today.
Amen.
And there's a God that can deliver you out of your prison.
Amen.
Brother Stevie taught on fears this morning. God can get you out of your prison of fear.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. God can get you out of your prison of fear.
Amen.
God can get you out of your prison of folly.
Amen.
God can set you on the pathway of faith.
Amen.
You journey along.
Amen.
Now, do you think that that experience made an impression on Peter's life?
Amen. Yeah.
I know it would of me.
Amen.
Come here, Flipper.
Come here, boy. Now, Grandpa wants to tell you a story. You know, I've had some real experiences with the Lord, Philip. And Grandpa would like for you to have some of the same experiences I had. Let me tell you about them. I remember one night we was out on the sea, Philip. And the waves were boisterous. The winds were blowing and the ship was filling up with water. And we saw what we thought was a spirit walking across the water. And we cried out in fear. And what we thought was a spirit was Jesus. And he said, "Be not afraid, be of good cheer." And Philip, you ain't going to believe this. But I said, "Lord, if it be thee, let me come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." Now, when I got out of the ship, yeah, you ain't going to believe it, Philip. But I walked on that water. Your grandpa walked on that sea of water. But I saw the waves and got a little fearful, and I began to sink. And I heard somebody in the boat holler out, "Well, he's got the right surname, a rock. And right now he's sinking like a rock." But you know, I was a sinking and Jesus, I cried out and Jesus just reached out his hand and delivered me. And let me tell you another story about Grandpa. I remember one time old Herod killed James. Me and James and John had caught a lot of fish together. We'd had a real time of life. And it really hurt me. But I knew in my heart James was with the Lord. But Herod went ahead and took me also and put me in prison and put 16 soldiers around me. Locked the door, locked the gate, and there I was. And you ain't going to believe it. Right in the middle of the night, God sent an angel. I thought I was dreaming, but God sent an angel. And that angel took the chains off my hands, and I put my shoes and my coat on. And he led me out that first door and through the gate and disappeared. And I went on to John Mark's house. And guess what? I found the whole church. I found every one of them, all 64 of them,
amen,
praying for me.
Amen.
And God heard their prayers and answered their prayer and let me out. God could have done that. God could have delivered me any way He wanted to, but He chose to do that. And I'm going to tell you something, Philip. Them experiences I've had with God has really changed my life.
Amen.
Now I want to ask you something. Thank you, honey. You going to have any experiences? Talk to your children and grandchildren about. Have you had any experiences with God? I'm telling you, and the reason some of you won't, some of you in here are afraid to get out from under your roof.
Right. Amen.
Some of you in here need to go to other camp meetings with Brother Hall.
Amen.
You need to go to some local revivals.
Yes, sir.
Go to some other meetings.
Yes, sir.
Watch God do some things. And some of you are afraid, for some reason, to drive around the block to go to another church.
Amen.
You're either afraid or you're too sorry to do it.
Amen.
I want some experiences.
Amen.
To pass on to these kids. I've got a tape. And in my box of my memorabilia, is that how you say it? When I was in the hospital years ago, back in 1979 probably, and Miss Hall came to the hospital to see me. I was in there 4 or 5 days. They cut a growth out of my nose and worked in my ears and stuff. She brought that little cassette player and a tape. And her and Lisa and Tammy was singing a song. I forget, they sung 2 or 3 songs on that tape. I listened to it maybe 1.5, 2 years ago, but I forget what the song was. And at the end of it, Miss Hall said, "Well, Benny, we've had a good time worshiping God tonight." Said, "Would you close in prayer?" Said, "Remember your daddy when you pray." And Benny said, "Lord, help daddy, amen." I've got another tape in there, and in 1982, right over here behind the old building under a tent, on a Friday night at the close of the June Jubilee, it's that little boy sitting right over there stood up. Brother Jerry Clark said, "This is Gary Hall, Ben Hall. This is Brother Hall's little boy, and he wants to testify." And Benny said, I want to thank the Lord that I'm saved, and I'm going to thank Jesus for calling me to preach. Amen. I'm talking about experiences, ladies and gentlemen, that'll stir up your heart and help you down the road. There's one other power. There's the power of Satan, the power of prayer, but there's the power of God.
Amen.
And His power is unlimited.
Amen.
His power is unlimited.
Amen.
The apostles were, Peter was in his utter extremity. But God is never too late in man's extremities. Man's extremities are God's opportunities.
Amen.
That's right. He was in an apparent impossibility or position, impossible position. But yet God delivered him. And God gave him a complete deliverance. God delivered Peter, reassured the church, and God destroyed Herod.
Amen.
I'm talking about power.
Amen.
A power that's still at work today.
Amen.
Three powers. They're all at work today. As far as I know, that's getting close to Peter's final experience. I passed over all those others and come to this one. God being my helper, we're going to look at that man that God delivered as he wrote the book of 1 Peter.
Amen.
What a man. What an apostle.
Amen.
See, the Bible doesn't show Paul's failures. Doesn't show John's. Doesn't show any for James, Bartholomew, Matthew. It shows none of their failures. Only Peter's. But I want to remind you, when it comes time for the big showdown, he called Peter.
Amen.
Peter the failure. That's who he called. Now you might look at yourself this morning as a failure in the past. You know what, Brother Stevie spoke on fears this morning, said fears of the past, and here's what I said. I said every day, those fears and those failures get further from you. If you had a failure back here, every day of your life, God puts a distance between you and that failure.
Amen.
He does. And I guarantee you, the further away from it you get, the less important it'll seem in your life.
Amen.
The less it'll trouble you in your life. Let's stand together. I've tried to preach. Thank you, son. Any failures in here today? Any failures that would like to be a fixture? I'm talking about a fixture in the house of God.